This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Ellen Utrecht.
But I think that a good story doesn't really start with, you know, a 40-page deck. I believe that it starts with, a one universal truth within the brand.
Ellen is an all-around film professional with 25-plus years of experience in both commercials as well as feature films. She got her training at one of the Netherlands' most iconic creative agencies, Kessels Kramer, where she was instrumental in delivering impactful commercials for brands like Diesel, Ben, T-Mobile, Bavaria Beer, 55DSL, and Vitra, among others. Ellen has a long track record of innovation in film, pioneering new and groundbreaking production approaches for clients like Philips, Heineken, Lego, DSM, and Denim. Her Dutch training in conceptual storytelling and strong execution led to a successful worldwide career in Sydney, Los Angeles, and Toronto. She's the founder of Mike TV, which recently successfully launched the Lego the Movie campaign and Midnight Pictures, responsible for successful short and feature films such as Eclair, Meeting the Other Woman, and Bushwhack. Mike TV was also responsible for the widely shared nonprofit anti-gun campaign, Veterans for Gun Reform. Ellen, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you for having me. I'm very, very excited.
So I have to ask, with your firm's name being Mike TV, I have to think this is a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory reference. Am I correct, or am I just making up a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory reference?
No, that's correct. When we first started, we really liked the reference as first of all, I'm a huge Roald Dahl fan, and that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was one of my favorite books. But also the character being addicted to screen and content, we thought was a nice addition to our brand.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's fascinating because on one hand, as a quick reference, it's one of those that you could get at a glance and it works and it's still fun. But that's kind of the second layer of it, is that it's a character that's obsessed with screens and content. And I think that, you know, for a book that was written so long ago and has seen a few movie adaptations along the way, it's a message, it's a character that probably resonates with the world that we find ourselves creating content in.
Correct. Excuse me. We've always loved that reference, and what I like the most about it is the fact that since we've been working so internationally in the past 10 years, it's actually more the Americans and the English speaking languages that actually get that reference, because in the Netherlands, for example, the book is translated, and so the name is not the same. So in Holland, I always had to explain the reference, which I hadn't really thought of because at the time, I'm always very happy that people do get that instantly in English speaking languages countries.
Yeah, and I have to imagine that there's been someone out there who has thought that maybe Mike TV is your founder, or is some silent business partner who they have yet to meet.
No, people do always ask us who is Mike at some point, but
right,
correct, yeah.
Well,
soon they get to they realize that it's actually a female.
Right, yeah. That's when you get to tell them that they're talking to Mike.
Yes.
So while I get the Mike TV reference, I will say that when you talk about conceptual storytelling and the Dutch training, that's where. We were talking before I hit record about my last name being Danish rather than Dutch, so I'm a little more shaky when it comes to the Dutch school of conceptual storytelling. So, what's that all about?
Well, I started my career I actually started my career in Sydney many years ago, and then after approximately 7 years of working in large network agencies, I moved back to the Netherlands, and I started working for a small B, and Kessels Kramer is what I consider still as one of the most strategically orientated agencies around. They're very, very much part of building a brand from the get-go. So taking it from ideation all the way through to, you know, production, etc. But very much with logo design, they're very strong in overarching big ideas, and that's where I got my love for storytelling. Really, I strongly believe in the fact that every campaign or brand should have a big overarching idea, and that's where I was taught by Eric Kessels and Johan Kramer in Amsterdam back in 2000.
Yeah. So talk about kind of the roots in storytelling and how that, because I think that's something that we hear talked about a lot, but what's the actual application of story and brand?
Well, we feel that very strong. I mean, everybody talks about storytelling, obviously, nowadays. Right. But I think that a good story, you know, doesn't really start with, you know, a 40-page deck. I believe that it starts with, you know, a one universal truth within the brand. And it's funny, if you think back, especially starting with a lot of the founders of companies, if you look at a brand, even the large brands, even, you know, Lego or Red Bull, all the larger Heinekens, everything always started with the founder, with one person with a vision. And we like to start there rather than starting from what the consumer might feel or what we're trying to sell, but much more the feeling and the story that the founder at one day or another, you know, years ago, whether that was 20 years ago or whether that's right now, that vision and that feeling that they had, that they wanted to, why they actually started the company, that I feel is usually the story that they, you know, where we should start. And that's the beginning and the heart of it. And then from there, it grows on to becoming a story that you want to communicate to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that those roots in the founder with the vision, especially as those companies that again started out with such humble beginnings, like any good story, as they grow, as they scale, it's easy to lose sight of that vision along the way with growth. So it seems like you really sometimes have to fight to keep those elements at the surface.
No, absolutely. And I think it's something that, you know, all good brands, all good brands, let's not put it, the brands which really, and also the not so good brands,
right,
do very well. But I feel that a brand that stands out in the community, in the world, and where you always see that it's sort of, I think the ones that have the best branding really do stay very true to that very, very first, you know, line or the one universal truth, if you ask me. You know, they look at what defines their company, and they try and get all of the staff and everybody behind that to keep that one sort of vision true. So I think that is always where the story is at, to be honest.
So say you're a brand that you know, maybe it's one of the not so goods or one of the ones that's faltering again as they grow. How can you find that one universal truth if you've lost it?
Well, that's a very good question. So we tend to go back to right to the root a lot of the times when we get asked to come in and talk. But we create brand narratives. So for us, it's usually a 3 or 4 minute, what we call a corporate or a narrative brand film. And we actually spend many, many hours and days of speaking and looking into the founding of that company. So we don't just listen to what they want to communicate to the world right now, but we do really look at how the company is structured, how it started, where that beginning came from, and also we speak to everybody from, say the janitor all the way through to the CEO and talk to them about the culture of the company. And out of that, usually we hope with a lot of back reference material that they give us, we try and create that one sort of thing that we think that that will create a beautiful story that people want to watch and that resonates and has emotion and will, resonate with the consumer.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the 7 dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So I love that the form that takes. I mean, I think there's a lot in there and the design and the resonance of it all. But I love that the form that it takes. You talk about a brand film, a 3 to 4 minute video. And this mm-hmm. seems like such a good way to distill that message. I do like the reference to the 40-slide deck, which I'm sure many out there, that is the form that brand gets distilled down to, and that's so hard to access versus the multi-sensory engagement that you get from a 3 to 4 minute video. And certainly, as much as we talk about how big story is, video right. is big, but I think these two forms are really kind of having a moment together. Talk about the connection of story and video.
Well, I mean, I feel that with regard to video or narrative story, the most attractive thing to it really is the fact that you can reach people's emotions much more so than you can with a billboard or an ad, I believe. I think that taking somebody from the beginning for 3 whole minutes and capturing that moment and telling a story of a brand through video, you allow people to, for 3 minutes, really get encapsulated and get dragged into your story. And there's usually, if done well, there's also that sense of euphoria at the end, or sadness, or something that really drags people from A to B, and the emotion around it, I think, is one of the most important parts. I think a lot of brands forget that emotion is so important for consumers to connect with the brand.
Emotion is important. And I also think, I think, like you said, people forget. I also think people are scared of it, or of getting close to it, or we don't want to remind them of pain points in their life. We don't want to, but all of these things are where those strong connections lie.
Well, absolutely. And of course, the fantastic medium of film allows you to also use sound, which is, you know, we all know sound is like almost 50% of the video, creates an incredible emotion between people. So, you know, the combination of perhaps voiceover and visuals plus the simulation of music really does create something special. I also feel that you're right. Sometimes or brands are very are scared, I think, or don't dare. I think people need to, brands should have a little bit more balls to do that and open themselves up to that kind of emotion.
Well, especially back to what you were talking about earlier of standing out at a time when it's harder than ever to stand out. I think you have to take big swings and look at appealing to those emotions as well.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's something that brands should go out and do way more. I mean, look at something like Nike. You know, they did this so well with the campaign last year, where they took a very, very, very difficult subject and they dared to incorporate this within their brand. I think that's a very daring and very emotional and good thing to do. It panned out for them. It doesn't always pan out, and I think that's where a lot of the brands, you know, they find that difficult to do that. But I think when done well, and when you have CMOs and brands that decide to take that route, that the rewards can be enormous.
Well, so I think the other scary thing that's easy to see in the Nike example is I risk upsetting a lot of people with this viewpoint that they're going to have the other side of it, and you know we're scared to not lose anybody today, but to stand out you do have to be bold.
Well, exactly. And taking risks can also benefit your brand, I think, you know, in some ways. I mean, it doesn't always appeal to everybody, but at least most people are talking about it. And it means that your brand is in the picture. So obviously, there are reasons to have people that you as a brand don't want to be political or be part of that, you know, take that stance in the world. But the brands that do, I feel, are you know, some of the top brands in the world, if you ask me.
I agree. I mean, I think that that's one area, and there's increasing data on it from, I think, Edelman's most recent trust barometer, talking about people are looking for the brands that they are a part of to be socially conscious, to have an opinion on these important issues of the day, that they're looking for leadership there. So I think it's an opportunity, but it's not one that's in many's comfort zone.
Well, I also think it's actually an obligation for a lot of brands, to be honest. Brands are so, you know, especially the larger ones. And of course, we are talking very much about the large and very visible brands nowadays. But I feel that that is definitely something the brands should take a stance on. You know, they're so visible. They're so part of our ecosystem nowadays that I think that it's important for brands to step up and communicate what they believe in and bring, and in that way, bring enormous amount of consumers with them and dare to speak out. I think it's for me, it's an amazing way of communicating.
Well, and brands of all shapes and sizes too, because you talked about it being, you know, critical for those big, very visible brands. But I would also argue that on the other end of that, it's someone is building a new brand, that it is, again, so it's, I mean, I think it's probably hard across the spectrum, but I think especially when you get to really big and really small, those benefits can be outsized for different reasons. I think it can be a real launching point, you know, as you see innovative small brands grow with, you know, whether it's a one-to-one message, whether it's some other social impact that they're having, I think that it can be a key catalyst for growth.
Mm, Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
So in your work, the Lego brand came up a few times, and I think that that is such a magical brand, a fascinating brand, a playful brand built around these experiences. Can you talk a bit about the work of continuing to build that brand?
Yes, of course. Lego is personally, I feel, is one of the most iconic brands, but also amazing because it's been around for so long. They've been advertising for so many years. But one of the best things about Lego is that they actually are the ambassador of creativity. One of the things that you realize when you start working with the brand, that everybody that wants to, you know, that we reach out to work with, everybody has, so many people have, especially in the creative industry, so directors that we work with, photographers, etc., they have such a nostalgia towards the brand, and to the fact that they are so innovative in their marketing is amazing. I mean, looking at what I think is one of the best pieces of branded entertainment is, you know, Lego the Movie, and how they do that, and how they've set the whole world. That is sort of, if you ask me, the future of advertising.
Yeah, because I mean, boy, it's hard to see where the brand starts and stops, and the experience, entertainment. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible brand to work for, and it's Danish actually. Yeah,
so there you go.
There you go. So there's that connection. It's a very humble company, actually, and what I think is incredible is that the product is, even though it's evolving so much and it's moving with its times, because it really does, you know, it's tapping into all the best characters of nowadays. You know, they do a lot of IP, obviously, with various different entertainment companies, you know, working with Warner, Marvel, etc. But actually, the product, the actual brick, which is, you know, is exactly the same as it was in the 70s. It still clicks the same. It still works the same. Yet, you know, people are still loving it, still buying it, and they've moved in from, you know, trying to keep kids, but also parents engaged. So, you know, one of the most interesting part I find is how do you communicate all across the world? You know, every country is different, and now, you know, working within China, etc. It's fascinating. I love working for them. They're really one of my very favorite clients.
Well, and as you were saying that, I was thinking, I'm so enmeshed in the Lego brand, and then I stared ahead to my computer monitor, and my son gave me for my birthday this year a Lego boat that he made, and and I've got from another client a USB drive that is made from a Lego, and and then just a random brick sitting over here on my desk as well. So it is, I love that you said that, especially within the creative industry, how we think of ourselves, but really being an ambassador of creativity as well. And I think that there's so much to that and so much simplicity there that it could be easy to lose that. You know, back to your initial point of losing track of that vision, losing track of the truth of the story. And I think that they've really reinforced that effectively, especially in recent years.
No, absolutely. I think the whole mantra of creativity and having children be creative with these tiny little bricks, that and doing that from, you know, the early 70s all the way through to right now, and still keeping them engaged in that, is amazing how they've done that. even looking at, you know, the products that they're actually launching, still always staying true to that one thing, which is creative. Make sure that you build your own. And this, you know, there's no rule to how you build your brick, but they've incorporated music into it. You know, they're creating robots. And this, of course, is all very much the product, but obviously the branding around that is incredible as well. And I think Lego the movie for me is one of the most the ultimate in branding, really. Everybody going out to the cinema and paying money to go and see a movie, which essentially is one big branding piece.
I love that. That is a great story and a great brand. Ellen, as we start to wrap up, we've talked about a few different brands that we respond to. And speaking of brands that should build an emotion, like we talked about, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Well, I have. I think that's has to be Supreme, the T-shirt brand, yeah, which I think is what I think is incredible with this brand is that it's a 20-year-old brand that was, you know, probably 10 years ago people hadn't heard of anymore. It didn't have a very good name, but now they've completely reinvented themselves to so much so that kids are actually standing outside stores waiting for the next Supreme T-shirt to come out at very limited editions, etc. And there's a huge hype around them. And I think that's incredible how they've done that.
Yeah, I think that is a great example and very much in line with the conversation that we've been talking about of reinvention that's necessary along the way as well. Ellen, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
You can go to miketv.com and have a look at our website. And obviously, you can reach me at ellen@miketv.com.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Ellen, thanks for being on Brand with us.
Thank you very much, Nick. Very much enjoyed it, and have a lovely day.
And as a reminder, find show notes, links, and more at onbrandpodcast.com. If you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a rating and review to help others find it. For more, including how you can sign up for my newsletter, please visit nickwestergaard.com. That's Westergaard with two A's. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.